Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Recommended by Alarmy member Caitlin Bowes. Today we're discussing the Philippines Pepsi number fever. Here's what you need to know.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
On the evening of May 25th, 1992, a young married couple, Isagani and Marilee Lu, watched the Channel 2 news in Manila, the capital of the Philippines, hoping their prayers would be answered. Earlier that year, Pepsi-Cola had rolled out the advertising campaign Number Fever. Filipinos across the 7,641 islands could collect Pepsi bottle caps, known as crowns, with three-digit numbers printed inside in hopes of winning cash prizes. That evening, the news station announced the winning number was 349, and Marilee and Isagani rummaged through their collection of crowns. Marilee gasped as she found a bottle cap bearing the number 349. It was marked 1 million pesos, the grand prize. She was unemployed, and her husband worked as a painter. 1 million pesos, approximately $40,000 at the time, was going to change their growing family's life. Little did she know, hundreds of thousands of Filipinos across the islands also had the winning number. The city of Manila erupted into celebration as thousands of hardworking citizens clutched winning 349 crowns. As crowds made their way to Pepsi's factory to redeem their prize money, Pepsi executives were huddled behind the locked doors. They had accidentally manufactured as many as 800,000 winning crowns. Hoping to quickly smooth things over, the following morning, Pepsi announced that the actual winning number was 134. After this only spread confusion, the company then announced that 349 was indeed the number, but only if the bottle cap included a specific security code. For the hundreds of thousands of winners who didn't have the security code they hadn't known about until now, Pepsi offered them 500 pesos, around $18, as consolation. Frustration mounted as thousands of Filipinos who had seen a glimmer of a better future for their families protested in front of Pepsi's iron gates as the billion-dollar company evacuated their American employees and hired bodyguards for their executives. The daily protests transformed into chaos over the next several months as security guards threw glass soda bottles into the crowds. Protesters overturned, vandalized, and burned dozens of Pepsi trucks. Molotov cocktails were tossed into Pepsi factories. And movements like the Coalition 349, United 349, and Solid 349 organized rallies and lawsuits against Pepsi. Torch-wielding 349 winners even gathered in Malacañang when President Bill Clinton visited, demanding American intervention to make this right. Vicente Del Fierro, whose daughter held a winning crown, campaigned throughout the city, organized volunteers, and left his advertising business to lead a crusade against Pepsi, promising to take lawsuits and claims all the way to New York. He wasn't the only one to quit their job to dedicate time to legal action and protest. Surrounded by fellow disgruntled 349 winners, Vicente shouted into his megaphone, quote, "It's about third world countries being exploited by multinationals." In February 1993, a schoolteacher named Aniceta Rosario was walking into a Manila market when a Pepsi delivery truck arrived. Someone threw a homemade bomb that bounced off the truck and detonated. The blast killed Rosario and a five-year-old girl standing nearby and injured five bystanders. A few months later, in Davao City, a grenade thrown into a Pepsi plant killed three employees. In December 1993, after over a year and a half of unrest, a police officer filed a report that the bombings were not from anti-Pepsi protesters, but deliberate acts of self-sabotage by Pepsi to create public dissent. A garment factory worker named Rodelio Formento told investigators he and several men were paid by Pepsi to cause violence at rallies in an effort to frame and cause rifts amongst the organizers. Pepsi lawyers dismissed the accusation. Leader of the Coalition 349, Vicente Del Fierro, continued to labor over legal paperwork despite suffering from several strokes during the grueling process. From his hospital bed, he asked his daughter to promise to continue the fight even after he was gone, saying, quote, "Pepsi, they're killing me softly." Fun facts, aka death stats. The grand prize of 1 million pesos was equivalent to about $40,000 back then and was over 400 times the average monthly salary of a Filipino family. By the time the first round of the promotion ended in May 8th, 17 lucky buyers had won the grand prize of 1 million pesos. Pepsi's monthly sales in the Philippines increased from $10 million to $14 million. Pepsi accidentally manufactured between 600,000 to 800,000 bottle caps with the winning number. If Pepsi had paid all of the people who had the winning number, it would have cost them approximately $32 billion. Pepsi agreed to pay $18 to anyone holding one of the 800,000 caps with the winning number 349. 486,170 people redeemed this offer, costing the company around $8.9 million. As many as 22,000 people filed around 687 civil suits, and over 5,200 criminal complaints against Pepsi followed the mistake. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And joining us is associate producer Alex Paul.
Hey there.
So we have a lot to discuss, but Alex, you're technically our guest. So
We have to ask you.
I was. Drink?
Oh no!
Put you on the spot.
This is good. This is good though, because I'm such a planner that I usually sort of, you know, it's a little too canned. Now it's just free form. Uh-oh. I'm going to be thinking about it all night tonight, terrified. Well, yeah. Okay. Can that be it? Can that be what's alarming me? That, well, you just asked me and you didn't.
Let's do that. Let's do that. But it's not, it can be a sidebar, but it can't be the thing. Okay. I'm going. You have no time to think. Alex, oh my God. Oh, you know, we'd like to ask your guests, what is recently alarming you? What's keeping you up at night?
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Let's see. What's recently alarming me? Well, prices for my dog to fly on an airplane with me.
Okay. Mm.
I'm upset.
What is it? And what is the price?
So it's $125 one way.
That's to like put them under your seat?
Yes, to put them under your seat.
Oh, wow.
And I'm trying to fly out to Vancouver to visit my parents who are going to be out there this summer. And my ticket is going to be cheaper than hers.
Wow.
Which I am alarmed by. And I'm upset. I also know that I don't get anything extra for paying, you know, $250 round trip, because I'm fine. I get it. I'm fine to pay extra, but then put me in a section where I get something from it.
Right.
They're charging me, but they don't, there's no added service. There's no, there's nothing that they're doing that money.
As a generation, our generation, the four of us, we have seen the steep decline of the airline industry, the comforts that came with the industry. We were the last generation to kind of see what it was and then see how it's really downgraded.
To the point where now that when they give you this snack, you're like, oh, this is a grateful treat that they're treating me to, versus like when we were
a kids, cracker, a full a meal. Cracker.
I get a full, like in my coach, you know, economy class, my very first flight, like a full meal on a tray with silver, like you're in first class, you know? And then they just took that right away. And they're like, actually, you're paying for everything.
Okay. And so this is going to be controversial, but okay.
Can't wait.
A baby that sits in your lap that doesn't get any extra space, free, free. And you know what? Babies, they're not easy on planes.
No, they take up space.
Sometimes they're louder than dogs. Babies are certainly louder than my dog. And so it's not my fault that economically I can only afford a dog and not a baby.
Right. And also, why are we hating on animals?
I would love to be a parent to a child. I can only be a parent to a dog.
And
I can't afford a baby. And now you're asking me to pay $250 for my dog when my dog doesn't get any extra room. It's the same as a baby.
And you know, Alex, this kind of injustice and unfairness that you feel is a perfect transition into this topic.
Really
big corporations, right?
That's right.
Big corporations taking money from you and and not giving you anything back, right?
In return.
Yeah.
In return.
Right.
Yeah.
The promise of millions and, you know, not being able to hold up that promise. Yeah. Deliver.
Yeah, I'm gonna fight this until I die.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time, and if anything could start a revolution, it would be this injustice. In my mind, people, this is you've brought up an incredible injustice, Alex. Here,
okay. So transitioning into the Pepsi.
Speaking of injustice,
I thought that's what I had done.
But. Yeah. You did such a good job.
You did.
I'm very self-conscious about my transitions. what about this?
Yes.
Topic is just so.
What about it?
What about it is
makes your blood boil.
Makes your blood boil, but also feels so possible and close to home. And like we've all been this person. We've all been this person who collects these little whatever Monopoly tickets,
oh, yeah,
goes to the lotto. And the feeling that one must get when they actually win. I don't know. I've never won. I've never won any of these things. But yeah, I can only imagine what that rush is. Then to have it completely stripped away from you.
I know.
I feel like
traumatic, I think.
I think it's traumatic, but I also think like from an inside perspective, like if I'm the guy who's working at this corporation and feels like the corporation is taking advantage of me as an employee, this is the most hilarious, best thing that would give you such joy. You know, like if you're like, oh, the man is really like working me down. And but then you find out that your dumb company accidentally printed hundreds of thousands of winning tickets. It's hysterical.
The number 800,000 is so funny to me. Oh my like God. That is a lot. Because
it's too big. It's too many.
That is a lot of wrong numbers. That's insane.
Not 16. It's 800,000. That's
it's
a
like
lot of.
There should not be this that many of the same number for any reason.
Yeah,
whether
even
it's
the
winning
wrong
number or
there
not.
There shouldn't be 800,000 of
why
the non-winning
they? Yes.
Number.
There's so many numbers, so many combinations of numbers that include three, you know, numbers. Chris, how many combinations of numbers are there that you can do with three numbers?
I don't think you could
numbers?
Even say that number.
1,000?
No, there's got
to
be
why?
More.
Because you go 1 to 1,000.
I guess you're right.
1 to 999, and you go through all of the permutations.
In my mind, it's like there's other, like...
Although I guess if you have 0 in there...
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That was...
Wait, I'm trying to think.
It's got to be like 999 plus 99, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
now
right,
I'm very confused.
The zeros...
Oh, I
what
see.
We do know, what we do know is that there were almost as many winning tickets as there are actual prize dollars.
Right.
That's what's amazing.
That could have been 800,000
winning bottle caps. And it was only a little bit more money that you're only getting a million pesos. I mean, that's not only, it's a lot of money, but boy, what an error.
So let's start off by putting software glitch / marketing company DG Consultores. That's the name of the marketing company.
Oh, okay.
This is, according to Mental Floss, to determine winning numbers, Pepsi recruited DG Consultores, a marketing firm based in Mexico. The numbers were generated via computer, then secured in a safe deposit in Manila. From there, the list would be used to seed bottle caps in the bottling plants. Each night, the company would announce the day's winning number on television. This is according to the Washington Post. Pepsi blames the flap on a computer software glitch that allowed the inadvertent printing and circulation of hundreds of thousands of additional 349 caps, albeit ones without winning security codes. Bloomberg said it didn't take long for Pepsi to trace the source of the error. 349 designated a non-winner in the original promotion had been mistakenly chosen as a winner for the contest extension. The company reported the crowns from the extension had been printed with different 7-digit security codes and that none of these would be honored. This also wasn't the first time a numbers error had been made. In addition to the Philippines, Pepsi had rolled out number fever in Mexico, Chile, Guatemala, and Argentina earlier that year. During the rollout in Chile earlier that year, a garbled fax had led to a wrong number announced, triggering riots.
Wow. Wow.
So it was designated a non-winner, but then the mix-up was when it was chosen as the winner.
Mm.
Yes, for the extension.
Right.
Right. They extended the contest because it was doing so well.
And
right?
It was selling them a lot of Pepsi, so they wanted to make more cash.
What
so
wasn't it something like 40%? Their sales went up by 40%. Or it went from $10 million to $14 million monthly. That's a monthly sales.
Wow.
So they're raking in the cash.
Right.
Yeah, they sure are. Now, We'll get to this. I forget where I read this, but Manila or the Philippines was the number 12 soda consuming country in the world.
Mm.
Okay. In the 90s at this time?
Yeah. I'm just curious what the top five soda consuming.
Jeez, that
sounds U.S. for sure, right?
U.S. I mean, for sure.
We'll see. Chris is going to be on get on that. And while he's doing that, let's put up American colonialism. I mean, this feels right. Bloomberg said, America dominates many aspects of Filipino life. The U.S. took control of the islands from Spain in 1898 after defeating the country's revolutionary government in a vicious three-year war. It established military bases and colonial rule, and its influence remained long after the independence in 1946. The U.S. interfered in presidential elections, tacitly supported Ferdinand Marcos during his brutal two decades of rule, and generally used the country as a proxy turf for the Cold War. Sometimes in bizarre ways, at one point, the CIA helped suppress a communist peasant rebellion by faking vampire attacks to scare superstitious guerrillas into leaving their positions. This just gets crazier. Why had the contest sparked such anger? It was the money, of course, but it wasn't only that. The scandal tapped into rising anti-colonial sentiment in the Philippines, which was then flaring over the American military presence.
That context is so helpful to understanding, like, the passion behind the Pepsi riots.
Right.
Yeah. And I know we're not a CIA podcast, but
not yet.
We are like a historical tragedy podcast, and they just come up constantly. It's overwhelming.
I know. It is weird how the CIA just keeps popping up.
Well, they're everywhere, aren't they?
They're dipping their toes in all of the things so that they can stay. They're like, they got to know all the things, right? They're like the town gossip.
Yeah.
It makes you realize like information is power, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
speaking of information, I have some numbers for us.
Okay.
Yes.
I have like the top charts for the per capita consumption of carbonated soft drinks.
Okay, can't
but wait. It's for 2019.
Okay, that's still tracks. Okay.
It just gives you an idea, even though I think I'm also reading a little bit about how soda consumption has gone down. But anyway, first place is Mexico with 634 8-ounce servings, I guess, per person per year. Yeah, per capita consumption in 2019.
Wow.
So I guess, like, what does that mean? Like, somebody has, like, 2 8-ounce drinks basically every day.
634. Roughly.
Like, or, like, whatever. They drink, like, I don't know.
That
you
tracks.
Can say, like, 12
couple
ounces
a couple
sodas
a day.
Sodas. Okay.
America's in second place with 618, so right behind Mexico. Then there's a huge drop off to 280 8-ounce drinks per day, per year, 280
That's
per
like
year.
That's like a third.
That's like a huge drop off. That's Brazil.
Brazil.
And then it drops off even further, 116 8-ounce servings.
Almost cut in
per
half.
Per year. Oh, that's cut in half from Brazil, which is actually the Mexican consumption is six times that.
That's
crazy. Who's in fourth?
Japan is in fourth.
Oh.
Because Mexico and U.S. are like a cut above the rest.
Yeah.
Like
I'm surprised that you don't see
place.
Like China or Russia just because of sheer size, like population wise.
Russia goes in fifth, just behind Japan with 108 8-ounce servings.
And is China even on the list?
China's right after them.
Oh.
Wow.
And they only have put 56, but only 56.
What is the math there? It's like one a week?
56.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a soda a week.
I'd say that's where I'm at, so I guess I'm Russian.
I think I'm Brazilian.
I'm Chinese. Brazilian too.
Are you guys Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola?
We rock the Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one
Dr. Pepper.
Sugar. Well, once I found solidarity. Dr. Pepper.
Once I found out about this historical tragedy that Pepsi did to the Philippines,
of course, you switched. I switched.
Oh, that's when, yeah, in the 90s, back in the 90s.
Well, no, I found out about it.
Yeah, today. Like 5 minutes before you signed on.
I want to give everyone a little, since we're talking about Pepsi and Coke and, you know, all these stats, this is a little trick that I figured out years ago that I'm going to share with the Alarmy when it comes to soda.
Okay.
And if you're someone who likes soda, but you feel guilt about it, this is what I do. When I go to like a fountain soda, you know, if I'm getting lunch out, I get my fountain drink. I fill it like 95% full with Diet Pepsi or Coke. And then I do a splash of regular root beer.
Whoa.
And I'll tell you what, the entire drink tastes like root beer. Like you don't even taste anything, but it's like you're having diet root beer because nobody ever has diet root beer. And I love root beer. I'm telling you, you could do it with other things too, as long as it kind of matches that flavor profile. You do 95% diet and then a splash of what flavor you want. And it works.
I can't wait to try it.
Alex, you're probably somebody who brings her own water bottle to the to the cafeteria. You're well hydrated. You're also eco-friendly. You probably don't even mess with the soda machine. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're making a lot of assumptions about me.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
I do like soda water a lot. Mm. I do a lot of soda water. I grew up really loving root beer.
Yes.
I grew up Mormon, so Mormons are pretty psycho about their soda because they can't drink alcohol or coffee. So they do some really twisted things with soda. They put creamer in soda.
Whoa.
Which I think is disturbing. They have soda shops in Utah. I didn't grow up in Utah, but I dated someone who did, and that was really disturbing to me. I'm no longer Mormon, so I'm not tied to soda the way that I was.
You're off the soda now.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and put American companies preying on poorer countries up on the board.
Okay.
Now, this is according to Bloomberg. Two American companies also use the Philippines for a different kind of proxy war. PepsiCo Inc. and Coca-Cola Co. duked it out there in ways that would never have been allowed in the U.S., employing espionage and other dirty tricks. At one point during the Marcos era, Pepsi executives were caught cooking the books to show higher sales than Coke, forcing a $90 million write-off. This is according to Mental Floss. As the perennial number two in the cola industry, Pepsi had engaged in several promotional attempts over the years to compete with rival Coca-Cola. In 1989, they marketed Pepsi AM as an alternative to coffee. The product didn't catch on, nor did the company's expensive attempt to recruit pop star Madonna that same year. Stung by controversy over her religious themed Like a Prayer video, the company pulled advertising featuring the singer despite having paid her $5 million for endorsement. Their Number Fever campaign didn't appear to carry the same risk. Pepsi saw only upside. In the Philippines, then the world's 12th largest market for soft drinks, the company was a distant second to Coca-Cola. The promise of winning anything from a modest amount of money to 1 million pesos was enough to spike sales 40%. A lot here. First of all, the first thing I think of is this Pepsi AM would have done great in Utah. That's just based off our conversation. An alternative for coffee. Would have done great. Missed opportunity. Maybe it'll come back. We'll see. Number two. This is a very upsetting thing. The preying on the poor people and just not caring about their psyche and the fact that, you know, this was a campaign that like it really targets poor people, right? So anything that has always in my mind, lottery, anything that has to do with it's not gambling, but it's the promise of winning a jackpot.
And the American dream, right? Like this American company is coming here and they're going to give us 1 million pesos and that's going to change our life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's so predatory.
It really is.
It's like the, you know, corporations. I feel like we've talked about this in the past, but it's that mentality of like growth at all costs instead of like sustainable growth. You know, like they're not really working with the communities that they're necessarily serving. They're just trying to gain as much monetary resources as they can.
Right.
How it's affecting them.
Yes. You know, sort of broadly speaking, you can just put up, I mean, that's just the big C to me. That's capitalism, right? They're just anything.
Or capitalism or corporate, like corporate culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we think of the product that they're selling, right? It's harmful, right? Coca-Cola is sugar. We all know soda is not good for you, right? And it's linked to obesity. It's linked to, you know, diabetes. And the fact that they can just prey on these consumers who are, you know, might not be as aware of the harm that it can do is just one of those things that we see often here at The Alarmist and just continues to outrage me.
And I think it's interesting, like, right, if they hadn't accidentally had a software glitch, this promotion probably would have been fine and,
sure,
you know, but because of the mistake that was made, I feel like the backlash didn't quite match the like clerical error, but it did match like general American colonialism and general American corporations sort of infiltrating the Philippines. So the backlash was like, didn't match the error of the fever, but it did match like generally what America was doing to the country.
Yeah.
Was there like the acknowledgement? At first they said it like wasn't the winning number, right? It was actually a different number. Like, I know there was a lot of confusion. Did they ever like formally acknowledge?
Classic. It's just classic for them to be like, oh, we're just going to lie and say it was another number and then cause more mayhem. I mean, it's just like every corporation does that. They just lie immediately, right?
Yes.
They're just going to immediately
to save
lie.
Save themselves.
And then that's not going to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they went back to it. They're like, no, JK.
It really was, but there's a barcode that you have to have, or like some kind of code. It's like, come on, you're not really building a good case for us to really respect your policies.
I think, and not only that, but they don't really have, there's no recourse to sort of, to combat that in any way, right? Like they can do whatever they want because they have the money, because they have the lawyers. It's like, we'll just drag this out, no problem. So what if we categorize that as corporate shamelessness?
Okay. Great.
Because I think that sort of incorporates also this lottery aspect that they're trying to do.
Uh-huh.
And then also incorporates just them not acknowledging when they fucked up.
Just be like, oh, we messed up. Sorry, JK. Like,
they're just like,
don't pretend like, no, oh, just, now there's a serial number you just should have been aware of.
No way. They're just in their boardroom, like laughing it off. They're like, oh, this is awkward. I wonder how our lawyers are get us out of this one. Who cares? But you know what? The other thing I wanted to put up there was because in the breakdown, you were talking about how they're competitive with Coke. And I just think it's worth sort of thinking about this for a second. First of all, what is Coca-Cola? What is cocoa? Like, what is that flavor?
Well, was cocaine in the original Coca-Cola.
But that's not the flavor. The flavor is like cocoa beans, right?
It's locked in. No, it's not. It's like a secret recipe locked in a vault that we will never know.
What is at the core is my question of what are they selling? What is the flavor of Coca-Cola?
Not cocoa.
Not cocoa.
What?
I think it's its own unique invented flavor. It's just Coke is the flavor of Coke is Coke. It's not modeled after
cola.
What is cola?
Vanilla, cinnamon, citrus oils. Okay, so it's you're right, Clayton. I guess it's like its own.
It's not like coming from a natural. It's not like
It's not the carbonated version of cacao. You know, like
right or like sun-kissed
orange soda.
Or something.
I guess yeah like it's grape from soda.
Orange.
It's like
which
like
also tastes nothing
derivative.
Like grapes.
No,
but, oranges. You know,
but at least they're pretending. They're but saying that's just, what it is. The inspiration.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like just brown particular flavor of soda, and Pepsi is like an adjacent kind of.
So is Dr. Pepper. Like Dr. Pepper's
Dr. Pepper tastes
after
different.
Pepper.
I do think it does, Dr. but it's Pepper's not like distinct.
But it's not like based on pepper. You know what I mean? Like root beer isn't based on
root beer. Root beer is based on
roots.
Root beer is based on it is. I know a little bit about root beer. I can talk
tell
about
me,
it.
You're the fan. I love it too, but
what is the
well, she knows a lot about root beer, people.
Well, I know. Have you guys ever tried birch beer?
Oh, yes. Okay, so really it's akin good. To that.
I love it. Yeah, so it's like the tree root, like the sap. You know, oh, I'm going to backtrack. Cool. I don't know as much as I do, but I do know that it is based on, like, you know, the sugar that's part of, like, a tree sap. Yeah.
Sassafras.
Which makes sense. It is branchy.
It's earthy.
Earthy, yeah. Root beer does have that earthy taste.
Guys,
I mean,
guys,
ton of
it's sassafras.
Sugar. Wait, what is sassafras?
Root beer recipe. Root beer is based on? The primary flavor found in any old-fashioned homemade root beer recipe is sassafras, a deciduous tree in North America. This is according to, guys, get this, the Institute of Beer.com. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Just
live cool
with
institute.
That.
Cool.
But anyway.
I feel like you were on to something, Chris.
What
you
I was
were talking
angling
about,
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I was going for there was like, okay. I don't know. There's like this flavor of Coca-Cola and it's sort of like Pepsi, right? They're both similar. Why does Pepsi have to compete with Coke? I guess they just came out with this adjacent kind of flavor and they have to, why do they have to compare their earnings with Coca-Cola's earnings?
Because they sell the same product.
They're competitors.
It's
a competitive economy.
Yeah, no.
It's close enough.
It's they're angling for the same thing. It's like different kinds of rice crackers
or
something.
It's true.
Like
it's a brown drink that they're selling to people.
And I think people are very, you know, like
particular.
My mother drank Diet Coke religiously.
Yes.
And my grandmother drank Pepsi religiously. And it was very different for them. I could sort of swap back and forth, but it was very extreme. Like one was not going to drink the other.
Right.
So I think angling, like if you can win over, you know, a cola drinker, I don't know. I guess I guess it's just general competition, you know.
But it does seem to me to be, I don't know if I'm onto something that's very half-baked, but it does seem to be to me to be capitalism for capitalism's sake, right? Because let's say you were to take, you know, just eliminate the labels and like you're just getting a generic glass of soda every day. Like, do you think somebody who just like lined up and got a free cola every day would care about the distinction between Pepsi and Coke?
Well, they do that. They do a lot of those tests, right? Where people who supposedly love Coke more than anything else try to blind test them and
right.
Some people are good at it and some people aren't.
Yes. Right. But they're kind of like playing into that, what you were talking
totally.
About, which is like brand.
Branding.
Allegiance
loyalty.
Or whatever.
Loyalty,
it's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm a Coca-Cola guy. Like, if you stripped away that like sort of weird pride thing that people do about that, like, do you think that we would actually care about the difference between the two flavors?
In 100 years, we wouldn't, because no one would know the difference.
Right.
Right? 100 years, new people, no one would know.
Right. Exactly. That's my point.
But I don't see how that correlates to Pepsi just wanting to make money.
It doesn't. I don't know what it says, but it just makes me, I don't know what it says, but it just makes me like even more frustrated that they wanted to sort of compare themselves to Coke, and that's what drew out this promotion. They were like, how
you
do
sound
we
like
get
a Coke
more
guy. You sound
allegiance.
Like you're a Coke guy.
Like they should just allow themselves, like, we're always going to be second to Coca-Cola. That's not a big deal. We still make a good amount of money, but we're always going to be second.
But the whole thing just reeks of capitalism to me and just the nature of capitalism, because there's, like you're saying, Alex, there is no accepting second place. It's all about market share and it's all about, you know, how you can brag to your
shareholders.
I don't know,
it's about shareholders is what it's about.
Shareholders and market share. And like, if we can get people who drink Coke to switch to Pepsi.
And they were very strategic about picking the Philippines, which I think like speaks to the capitalistic sort of preying on people, right? They saw that the Philippines was a mostly Coca-Cola nation, and they saw that there were mostly upsides, like it would be financially easy to place this promotion in that country and up their sales in this specific country as well as Chile and Argentina and Mexico. Yeah,
the market's already there. These are soda loving, this is a soda loving country, so let's get our hands in into the cookie jar.
Yes, exactly.
So I also want to put up the national elections that were happening at the time. This is according to Bloomberg. Number fever also became linked in the public imagination with the country's chaotic national elections, which had taken place a few weeks earlier, but were still unresolved thanks to counting delays and procedural and legal challenges. The presidential contest in particular had had colonial overtones, pitting Fidel Ramos, a cigar-chomping, right-leaning West Point graduate with Pentagon connections, against...
Yikes.
I know. That's an incredible visual, too.
Right? Great description. It's a character I want to see.
Against Miriam Defensor Santiago, a U.S.-educated lawyer who'd worked overseas for the United Nations, and Eduardo Cojuangco Jr., a chairman of San Miguel Corporation, a Coca-Cola partner. So Coca-Cola actually had its hands in the election.
Oh, my God.
Other candidates included Imelda Marcos, widow of Ferdinand. One must wonder how many voters were drawn from the voting booth to Pepsi protests. A columnist wrote, in the end, Ramos narrowly defeated Santiago, a result marred by evidence of fraud. So you can see how it could have also been a displaced frustration with the people of the Philippines who were going through this very chaotic election at the time,
but
as well.
Are they suggesting there in that last quote that the Pepsi was a deliberate mistake to cause this chaos so that fewer people would vote?
I think what they're saying is... Right. It was all anti-American sentiment. Right. So you're thinking about the national elections and America has a hand in every candidate. Right. They are sort of involved somehow with every candidate. And then you go to a Pepsi protest because you're protesting this American company.
Gotcha.
So it's all, I mean, it all feels like, right. Cause are we figuring out who's to blame for this promotional campaign at all, or is it more like how it got so out of hand? Because it feels like, for, you know, like, do we expect Pepsi, like, Pepsi did say, like, you know, here's $18, sorry for the mistake. And I guess there's a world where, like, a stable country that had autonomy and, you know, had a strong middle class and was doing well would be like, cool, $18, I get it, we all make mistakes. But because there was so many years of anti-American sentiment and military bases and all sort of like just Marcos, who was backed by America and was, you know, was such a terrible dictator, that because of that, they were like, okay, the clear, obvious way to protest all of those abstract ideas about America is this specific company. Like, this is something where we can tangibly protest against America, and we're going to do it. And they did it for like 2 years.
Yes.
It's amazing that there were protests going on for so long. Like, that's true passion.
Yeah. With that said, I want to just point out that we haven't put PepsiCo on the board yet. So I think PepsiCo should be up there.
Hello.
Thank you, Alex, for pointing that out in a very lovely, articulate way.
Let's go ahead and do that. I think that's a really good point. It really was the embodiment of the country's feeling at the time. Like, and it's just, it's sometimes it's so interesting how it's like the silliest things bring that out, right? Maybe it's
because it's like,
you feel more comfortable fighting again, like that feels more personal all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Or it feels more attainable, right? How do you take on the American government? It's so unspecific and it's so impossible. But like, I feel like I, as a, you know, citizen and voter in America, have more pull with like a private company than I do with my like government officials. Like, private companies will listen to you more than, you know, the government will, because they, I don't know, I guess.
Well, they're afraid of losing your business.
And it's the state of the world right now. Yeah. And politicians are like, I'm never going to lose this voter's business. I don't care either way. But yeah, I feel like Pepsi was more like a tangible thing that they could fight against.
And riffing on that, I feel like, you know, Pepsi, this American company that's coming into this a poorer foreign country, it kind of represents like that corporate, the American dream. They're pitching this promotion as like, we're going to change your life with this, you know, monetary prize. Like, I wonder if there's room on the board for, like, for lack of better phrasing, like the American dream, like this, that mentality, you know, where it's like, all you need is that one break and it'll change everything, which is like,
it's
such
like
a
teasing the American dream. Right.
I know.
Like,
Don't you think that's also like what Lotto is? Like back in the day when the concept of the American dream was started, it was, you know, in a lot of ways, the gold rush. Like if you think about they were very tangible things. It was like the American dream, like coming and stealing land, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. That was the American dream. Or coming and stealing resources from the land, right? Mm-hmm. And this is Lotto now, you know, all land has been found, I guess, really, at this point.
So I think we call it selling the American dream. Like we're selling them on this idea. We're literally selling that they have to buy.
Because now we've got to come up with new ways of how that American dream is sold to people or attained, right? The only way has to be in just like lottery winning.
Right. You want a piece of the pie? Give me some money and maybe you'll win. You know, like
it's
a tax on the poor.
It's just so predatory. Okay. So I know we've spent more time putting things up on the board. So let's take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the list.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, for all that talking, we just only have a few things up on the board. So who's to blame for the Philippines Pepsi number fever? Is it a software glitch? Marketing company DG Consultores? American colonialism? American companies preying on poorer foreign countries? Capitalism? Corporate shamelessness? National elections? PepsiCo? Or selling the American dream.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, I think let's specify what Alex was saying and what we're earlier, which is like, what are we trying to figure out who's to blame for, right? It's it's not the actual mess up, right? It's how it got so out of hand. So let's just specify that. Because the mess up was the software glitch.
Yes.
Right.
So
which mistakes happen.
Yes. But that's like a boring technical, like it's more, what's more interesting is like how they handled it, you know, like the fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we can take that off.
I think we can take that off. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Software's off the hook.
So should we also take off the marketing company?
I wonder, because they were the ones who handle, I guess Pepsi really, the marketing company was the one that did the number situation, right? The mix up.
Yeah.
But they didn't call the shots after there was the mix up, right? Like they, like, I mean, maybe Pepsi, I would imagine Pepsi was pissed at them, but they weren't calling the shots.
So wasn't it something like Pepsi ended up spending still like millions of dollars just because of those $18 payments they had to give to the
almost 10 mil.
It was almost $9 million, I think, that they had to give away.
Well, that to me points to like, can we blame this, you know, Pepsi or is it something bigger? Because do we expect Pepsi to, you know, if they had paid out all the tickets according to the mess up, it would have been $32 billion. And I tried so hard to look up the revenue, like the yearly revenue of Pepsi, and it was in the billions, but I just feel like it's not realistic
to give away that much.
Pepsi to do that. Like, it makes sense that a company would be like, yeah, but there is some fine print and we're not going to do it.
Right. So we should definitely take the marketing company off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And to your point, maybe it's not Pepsi's fault?
Well, maybe we can hang on. What about national elections? Is that a good one to knock off?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that caused that was made it more chaotic, I think, right?
I mean, we need to do a deep dive into Ferdinand Marco and his
Marcos
and the dictatorship, because that was terrible.
Yeah. And that can fold into like American colonialism, I think, the national elections.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. So let's do that. I think it's more what I like about Americans companies preying on poor foreign countries is that it's like American colonialism folds into that.
Yeah, I think.
So a colonialism into American companies.
Yeah. Corporate shamelessness. That's pretty good.
I feel like I'm hovering around this concept, kind of speaking to what Alex is talking about, like the bigger picture of this, the idea of like somewhere in the world of selling other people on the American dream and getting them to like kind of like duping into that for profit, and like this corporate shamelessness, and then Pepsi itself, like, I'm, you know, like capitalism, I know it's in the jail, like it's part of it, but there's something a little bit more specific about these things.
Well, what about like forcing America onto other countries, right? Pepsi infiltrate, like
the American
forced
agenda.
Itself, forced itself into the country during a time when America in general was forcing itself into this country. Mm. So it sort of speaks to, I just feel like Filipinos became so upset, and the riots lasted so long because it was more than just right. a contest.
Is what it
right?
represented.
It's like we really didn't learn our lesson as an America, like as a country. You know, we fled Europe and then like imperialism because we felt like we didn't want these foreign powers like dictating how we live our lives. And then we created our own country and then just infiltrated other countries.
Yeah, we're like, agenda. It's actually quite lucrative. I understand yeah. why.
They were onto something.
Very ironic, you guys. Why don't we call that forcing the American agenda? And that can... selling the American dream can fold into that. So, and we can take capitalism off as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this,
I think this is more specific than capitalism, mm-hmm. which is good. Or, you know, it is part of capitalism, mm-hmm. but this is like specific yes. to the mm-hmm. event.
I agree. So this leaves us with American companies preying on poorer foreign countries, corporate shamelessness, PepsiCo, and forcing the American agenda.
I mean, at the end of the day,
shamelessness.
Pepsi is the company.
I kind of feel shamelessness too. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say Pepsi.
You were going to say Pepsi.
Yeah.
But
I just want the you know, as an example of corporate shamelessness, you know what I mean? Like, we need to actually, because so often what happens is these corporations escape from any real...
That's a good point, Chris.
Yeah.
Blowback or any yes. kind of, you know, they just basically throw money around and then quietly settle and then yep. move along.
I just, and I'm not defending, you know, please do not think I'm defending Pepsi. I just don't know what they could have done differently.
Mm.
Like, what could they have done differently?
Well, they could have been come out, honest I guess. Immediately instead of trying to, you know, dupe people and see if they could trick them, and they'd be like, oh, right. you know, like the whole like fake winning thing.
Yeah.
I agree. Like true. Eventually being that's like, true. We're sorry. Here's 18 pay, whatever it was.
Yeah. We messed like up. Also, like you said, Alex, the fine print, you know, you're playing a game.
That was fair. They are playing a game, but I think that was a nice compromise. I agree. It was like a good thing for them to do, but it feels like they did everything they could in their power until they had like eventually yes, had to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which and then by then, anger had grown, you know, so much resentment and anger, and also it like it created a movement, like people created
right
like full-on groups and yeah. organizations that were like funded right. Which is just wild to me.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it,
yeah
the $18 right, so late in the game really feels like a slap in the face.
Well, they did, it was, I think it was less than a week.
Okay. Well, that's not as bad. I mean, it's not
just
great.
To be the obnoxious factor. that's more, sorry, Chris.
Less of a slap in the face and more of like a noogies or something. Yeah.
I understand your everyone, but I also feel like Pepsi's just one of the many companies who, you know, yeah. acts or uses corporate shamelessness.
Yeah. Look,
do we slap them or
you
something?
You can't, it's almost yeah. like you can't, yeah, maybe slap Pepsi just because like you can't blame it. It's like hate the game, not the, like love the player, hate the game or whatever it's, or whatever it is. It's like, they're just kind of doing what everyone else is doing. It's like,
right.
I think if Pepsi had like, you know, and there were some rumors about them being the ones that were bombing, you know. That's a good example of why you should blame Pepsi, right? If Pepsi's like infiltrating the people, if they're like arresting people, if they're like, you know, making people disappear or
right.
But it sounds like they were like, well, financially what we can do is give everybody $18, but it had just gotten so much bigger than mm-hmm. the promotion at that point. Mm-hmm.
So do you think we should send Pepsi to jail, or do you think we should send corporate shamelessness to jail? I was veering towards shamelessness.
Me too. I hate shamelessness. Everyone should. Corporations, individuals should feel no shame. Corporations, just take it all. It's take so it all from
corporations
them.
Corporations are technically people, right? That's how they're taxed. They're people. Like, so
yeah, but like,
you're talking about financing or whatever. Like, they can technically
they
be private.
Finagle it that way. It's advantageous for a corporation right. to be considered an individual, but it's clearly not. It's like an amalgamation of many, many individuals with the specific
and
interest.
At the core, that's what's so scary about the whole thing is that, like, no, they don't have. You can't force You can't use shame against a corporation. It just won't right. work. Right. You can do that to your little cousin or, you know, your nephew or something like that and get them to alter their behavior. So like Alex is saying, people should feel less shame. Corporations should feel
more shame.
But yes. It's really, really
But they're never
hard,
going to,
they
right?
They're never going they're, to. But we. This is what we have they, to change because as a as an organization, they have to be working together to they have to have some like morals.
No, they
well, they
don't.
Just need right. If they don't have morals, they just need regulation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What if there we did go. This? What if we're going to throw corporate shamelessness in the jail? What if it, instead of the big slap, it's the big shame today, or the big shame,
big finger wag,
or we could, or America forcing America agenda. I feel like one of the that and maybe one of these that we're talking about. I'm not sure which should get the slap or which should get the jail, but.
Okay.
Seems like that's what we're well, circling.
Here, I'm going back to it, and maybe our guest expert will change my idea of this, but I think I want to send corporate shamelessness to the alarmist jail and slap, or not slap, maybe finger wag Pepsi company. Okay. And I want the sound effect to be like, like okay. In Jurassic Park
Molly.
Or something. Yeah. okay.
All right. So you're going to call it?
Yes. Pepsi Company. You're getting the big finger wag.
Please. God damn it.
Corporate shamelessness. You're going to the alarmist jail.
That feels good.
You know, I feel like this is where we're at. Maybe it's because I just finished watching the Hulu series, The Dropout.
oh, that is for sure.
For sure, well, a company sure, not feeling shame. Yeah. And really, yeah. It falls upon the individuals who are leading the company who should feel more shame when
yes,
it comes
exactly.
to how they lead.
Exactly.
And that is, again, part of the people leading the Pepsi initiative, you know, and the Pepsi company. Corporation, but it's the culture of shamelessness. The fact that it's okay to run a company without shame, that is just not okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this really, we landed on kind of a somber
yeah,
note
we got quiet.
This, with this, with this episode, but I think we nailed it.
I hope so. We'll, yeah. We usually get it wrong, but we'll see.
I feel good about this
yeah.
one.
Alex, thanks again for helping us get to the bottom of the Philippines Pepsi number fever.
Yeah, thanks for talking soda with me.
After the Pepsi number fever fiasco, in 1993, Pepsi paid a fine of 150,000 pesos to the Department of Trade and Industry. Lawsuits and appeals dragged on for years until in 2006, the Philippine Supreme Court finally ruled Pepsi wasn't negligent or liable for damages. After the controversy, the Philippine government strengthened its provisions on misleading and deceptive advertisement and doubled its fines against companies that violate consumer rights. Visit our website and let us know who you think is to blame at www.thealarmistpodcast.com. And follow us on Instagram at The Alarmist Podcast and on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with fact-checking by Chris Smith and editing by Molly Hockey. Additional writing by Anastasia Kousakis. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Alex Paul. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith and the Erios Network. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Johnstown, Pennsylvania flood.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.